Communion Sunday. So turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, and we're going to conclude chapter 4 this morning. And I think you'll be surprised in the lesson this morning, as I was surprised as I put it together this week, that here we have Jesus now, and he's been not only doing a lot of great works, he's been preaching, he's been teaching, hundreds of people following him around the Sea of Galilee, and now by this time, it's becoming dark. It's becoming not only a time where he needs to go to the other side. And the reason he wants to go to the other side, we'll see next week in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Mark. But as he gets on this boat, or this little ship, it tells us that behind him there were little ships following along, not recognizing that as he would get in the ship, and as he would go to sleep, that a huge, huge storm would rise. And that the boat actually was almost going down. He was asleep. And the disciples, of course, they were panicking. Panicking because of what was going on in their lives, and Jesus was asleep. They didn't know what was going to take place. But you have to understand that whenever you have a storm in your life, you know, you have to ask the question, is this storm allowed by the Lord Jesus Christ, or is this a storm that Satan wants to destroy me? What kind of storms have you been through in your life? I guess every one of us has been through many, many storms. I can remember when I first came to Christ, you know, the first time that I came to Christ, I didn't know much about Christianity, not much about storms in life, and not much about trials and temptations and sin. And I can remember the way Satan used to tempt me in such a way that he wanted me to deny Jesus Christ, to go away from Christ when Christ had done so much in my life. One of the greatest beginnings in my ministry and the ministry that God gave to my wife and I is never to ask for money. That was the first thing. I had my own business, and the way God got my attention, he took away my business. And he made us to depend on him. Where people came to the point that as I got saved and became a pastor, that people would come and leave groceries on our doorstep. Can you believe that? So humiliating. But God knew what he was doing. My son Ryan was going to be born, and at that time, today it's a lot of money, but at that time for $800, you could have a baby. And we had $400, and we needed $400 more for him to be born. And my wife and I always got on our knees and we prayed. It's a trial. And we prayed and we waited upon God. Well, we went out to the mailbox the next day and there was an envelope for $400 cash. So that made $800. Every time God met our needs. But these were trials. These were trials in our lives. Because we didn't know what was going to happen. And maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're watching through the internet or listening to the radio. That you're going through a period of time where God wants you to trust him by faith, especially in your storms of life, where sometimes we feel like we're going down, and the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as he is on the boat, we will never go down. Remember Peter was, he was on a boat, and Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, and it was kind of stormy, and when they saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. And Peter said, hey, Lord, can I come over to you? And of course, Jesus said, well, come on over, Peter. And as Peter began to walk on the water, the moment he got his eyes of Jesus and got his eyes on the storm, he started going down. That's what happens to us. When you get your eyes on yourself and not on Jesus, when you're going through a storm, you're going to go down. What did Jesus do? He reached out and grabbed Peter by the hand and pulled him up, and they walked back there to the boat. We don't have to, you know, freak out. We don't have to panic. When Jesus is for me, who can be against me? And I think that in this lesson, not only you can relate, but I can relate to the storms of life that I've gone through, that I'm going through, and that I'm going to go through again. Another storm that I went through in my life is when we were buying the building here. We were going to move here, and Pastor Chuck and Greg were here. We were walking around the building, and during the walking of the building here, I had a pain on my left side, real bad. Well, what happened, I went to the hospital and I had my appendix out, so I went ahead, they did the surgery. Next morning I wake up, my mom, my dad, and everybody's there around me because I'm gonna die, they say, because they found leukemia in my blood. And I prayed, I go, Lord, if this is what you want, I'm ready to go, Lord. I called Chuck, he prayed for me, Greg, he prayed for me. 3 days later, after doing all these exams, they came back and they said that I didn't have any more leukemia. Well, God answered prayer again. Like Paul the Apostle, I accept whatever he has in my life. If he wants me to go through greater storms, I'm ready to go. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? Think about that in your own personal life. You may be sitting here this morning and you're saying, but you don't understand my storm. I don't understand what God does. God understands your storm. God understands your problems, situations, trials. But many times we're trying to help God out and he doesn't need your help or my help. You got to wait upon the Lord. You have to sit there and wait upon him to see what he wants to do in your life, not what you want to do. And I would pray this morning through this lesson that God would speak to each one of us individually. So that we can come to that place in our lives and say, Lord, here am I, use my life. Whatever you intend to do in my life, then I want you to do it, and I want you to do it so that I can look to you and worship you and only you, Lord. Only you, Lord. Let's read the scripture and see how God's going to speak to us this morning. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35 to verse 41. He says, Jesus, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling, which means already going down. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care we're going to drown? And then he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Notice what he says here. I think that every one of us can relate on what Jesus said here. Every one of us here. First of all, we see the crisis. Every one of us go through a crisis. Maybe this morning you go through a great crisis. But if you're a child of God, know one thing, that God is for you, then really who can be against you? Jesus wants to teach you some things in your life. Because we do have stormy lights, as the stormy sea that we see here. In verse 35, he says, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, get what he says here. He's saying, let us go over to the other side. He's already saying to them, you guys, I'm telling you that I'm taking you to the other side, but they didn't believe it. How many times when you're praying and you're speaking to the Lord, and the Lord says to you, this is what I'm going to do, but you don't listen to the Lord. You don't listen to what God has to say. He said, let us cross over to the other side. He meant it. You guys, I got to get over to the other side because in the next chapter 5, I have to go there because there's a demon-possessed person always, always cutting himself and people are fearful of him and I need to meet him. He knew what he was doing. They didn't know what he was doing. They didn't know what was ahead. And many times, I don't know what's ahead for me. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. How many times do we go to bed and we don't think that maybe tomorrow we will be in heaven? But we don't think like that. We think that every time I go to bed, I'm going to wake up the next day. And many times, for me, many times in my dreams, I always ask questions in my own mind. I wonder that when we die, it's like a dream, that, you know, we're in a dream, but we're not really conscious, we're not awake, but we're sleeping. But I think that when we die, not only our new eyes are going to open, but we're going to be in the presence of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, in the throne of God sitting there. Never ever to come back here again. Never ever to experience another storm in my life. But that He is going to take all of my fears away. All of the storms in my life will be complete. And I thought, you know, so awesome to see, even when Pastor Chuck went through his own storm, cancer. First time he found out he had cancer. And because we were very close to him, we visited him at his home, and the last time we visited him, he was sitting there in a chair, and he had this oxygen tank, and we was breathing, and his wife, Kay, was on the other side, and my wife and I were there. And he was going through a major, major trial. Major. My wife said to him, Chuck, don't worry about it. You're going to get to heaven. It's going to be amazing. And Chuck says, I'm not ready yet. Of course, any one of us would say that. And 3 days later, he passed away. We don't know the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen even today or tomorrow. That's why we have to be close to the heart of God. Close to the heart of God. We need to obey just as He said here. Let us cross over to the other side. Where is Jesus calling you to cross over? To what side? To the side of the spirit, to the side of the flesh. If you live on the side of the flesh, good luck. You're going to have so many things happen to you that God can't help you. When you come to the side of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit not only speaks to my heart, but the Holy Spirit leads me, guides me, and He does whatever God has told Him to do, because I am His child. I am a child of the light, no longer in the darkness. No longer in the darkness. Because then in verse 36, notice what He says here. In verse 36, He says what? Now when they had left the multitude, there was a multitude of people following after them. So here is the stormy weather. Notice what it says again. And now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. So we see here that He's going to cross over to the other side, but before He leaves, there's multitudes of people following Him. What do? With all these people following you. You have to understand that not everybody is following Him to know the truth. There's a lot of people that are on that group of people, the multitudes of people, that are there to criticize. They are there to judge Jesus. And they are there to say, hey, you are no one, but you're a phony. And then you have the religious leaders which hated Jesus. But there were those people that wanted to know the truth about the gospel. And that's why Jesus was preaching to them. And because His time was not yet to go to the cross, He excused Himself, number one. Why? Because He needed to rest. He was tired. That's His human side. He was tired. 100% human, 100% God. I don't know how you feel when you're tired. But for me, this last 3 days was pretty cool, because my wife and I were, you know, we're alone, and we got to be alone together and just relaxing and kicking back, but also at the same time praying for the future of our lives, the future of our sons and our daughters and our granddaughters and grandsons. And sometimes we have to step back so that we can see how weak we really are. And how we needed to take a time off so that we can be strengthened by the Lord. And to allow the Holy Spirit, to the voice of God, to speak to me instead of me speaking all the time. And that's for you too. Have you heard His voice? Do you know what He wants in your life? Many times when we come into the presence of the Lord, you know, we don't really stand still. We got our phones, we got all these things with us, and you know, how can He speak to us when we have all these interruptions? I feel that I can't take my phone with me. As a matter of fact, I don't like my phone. I gotta have one, but I hate it. Because every time I get so many calls, I get so tired of it. That now when I study, I just put it away and I don't answer it until I'm done. I really believe that within the body of Christ, having a phone can be a great help, and also it can become a great danger. You ever see people with their phones, all they do is this. They don't even talk. How do you use your phone? What kind of time do you put into your phone? But I'm gonna ask how much time you put into the Lord. We should be ashamed. Ashamed. They were so busy looking at things that are temporal instead of the things that are eternal. Jesus wanted them to understand the things that were eternal. They were going across to the other side, as we see here in verse 35 to 37. Because we see again in verse 36, and now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats also were with him. Now these little boats, you'll never hear anything about them anymore. We don't know what happened to them. The storm comes, I don't think that the boats went down. They're not mentioned, which I don't know why. But I believe that that they had faith enough to follow Jesus. Faith enough to follow Jesus. And then this storm came. I can just see these little boats not trusting in themselves or in the storm, but really trusting in Jesus because they heard Jesus. They heard Jesus preach the word. And to me, that's been a real situation in my life, that I really want to be able to hear what Jesus has to say to me. So when the windstorm comes, look at verse again, 37, and a great windstorm arose. That word windstorm there, it means like a hurricane. You ever see a hurricane? You know, I've been in Israel so many times that when you're in the Sea of Galilee, you're sitting there and it's calm as it could be. But there's been storms, air coming in from Africa, those great air storms, the Sea of Galilee, it will raise up to 10-foot waves, calm to 10-foot waves. And here he's talking about like a hurricane that was around the Sea of Galilee, arising. And the waves were beating against the boat so that it was already filling up, going down. Now, think about what he's saying here. Because Jesus sleeping, and they're almost drowning. They were fishermen. They lived around the Sea of Galilee. This should have never been a surprise to them. You know what? When we go through storms, it should never surprise us if you've been through other storms. Some storms are light, some storms are real heavy. Real heavy. And these guys not only had lived there, but somehow as they were going and they saw this storm, they became fearful instead of having faith in Jesus. Recognizing in their minds that as long as Jesus is on my boat, I will never go down. I will never ever go down. And that's something that is for today. Are you going down? What area of your life are you going down on? Do you really trust Jesus? Like Peter did when he was going down, he reached out and Jesus grabbed a hold of him and picked him out of the water, pulled him out, and they both walked back into the ship, out to the boat. Jesus was with Peter as Jesus is with you today, and he is with me. And I was reading the scripture that really spoke to my heart, because this great windstorm like a hurricane arose and the waves were beating on the boat so that it was already filling. You know, it's already filling. And then watch this verse again, verse 38, he says, but he was in the stern sleeping in a pillow. Who's that? Jesus. Sound asleep. Waves coming over the top. Wind blowing, these guys freaking out, and Jesus sleeping. What does that tell you? It told me that he was totally totally physically tired. But at the same time, he was trying their faith. Trying their faith. He said, let us go to the other side. Why were they freaking out? If Jesus said it, he will accomplish it. But in between leaving and getting there, there are storms in life. Storms in our lives that we go through. And God tests me and God tests your life. To see, number one, if you are depending on him. And number two, are you obedient? And number three, where is your faith? Where is your faith to trust him, to believe in him? That he is able to take me to the other side. Why? Because he loves me. Because he cares for me. Verse 38 again. But he was in the stern asleep in the pillow. And they woke him up and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Notice the question. They go over, they're crying out, Lord, the boat is filling, we're going down, and why aren't you awake? What are you going to do about it? Don't you care for us? Don't you love us? You know, I think that's with every one of our lives, you know. You're going through a great trial. You say, God, how can you love me? Don't you love me, Lord? Why are you allowing this in my life? And many times we don't understand why, and he won't answer you. And by faith, you have to receive it and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait on you, and I'm going to go through this trial by faith. By faith. They were totally freaking out. And as they were freaking out, and Jesus, notice, woke up as the boat was going down, sitting on the pillow, laying down. He says, they awoke him. They went over to awake him and said, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Good question. Are you perishing today? Are you drowning? When all you have to do is reach out to Jesus and he'll touch your life. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your storms. I'm talking about your problems. I'm talking about your infirmities. All the things that we go through, all the things that are in our lives that need to be taken care of by the Lord. And I love the way he does that here. The cry of these guys, you know, hey, don't you care that we're going down? We're going to drown. And then he says, verse 39, then he got up. And the first thing he does is rebuke the wind. He doesn't rebuke them, he rebukes the wind. He rebukes the wind. And look what he says. And said to the sea, peace be still. Peace be still. Imagine how they must have felt when they saw Jesus standing and he brings a calm. He rebukes the wind and the sea. And the Greek says, quiet down. Quiet down. All he did, got up and spoke, and it came to a peace. Imagine all those waves, all of a sudden, they're gone, and the sea is like a calm. And now, they're blown away. I mean, how would you feel? You're in a little boat, the boat's going down, these huge waves are, you know, coming into the boat, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a calm, there's a peace, and he just got up and talked and spoke to the wind and to the actual storm. And then they're sitting there, probably in shock, and saying, man, how did he do that? They've been with him how long? And they're still questioning Jesus. We do the same thing. Why me, Lord? Why this trial? Why this temptation? Why not them? And God says, why not you? Why not you? And you have to understand that if he says, why not you, that he's going to strengthen you, he's going to be with you, and he's going to use you in a powerful way. In a powerful way, but you have to be patient. You have to wait upon him. Because he goes on in 38, he says, but he was in the stern asleep in the pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? And then verse 39, and then he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Notice, a great calm. The peace of God brings a calm to my life. That's what I've learned in my life. He comes through because he loves you, because he cares for you. Our nature as human beings, we get embarrassed. When he is using that to keep you simple and for you to continue to trust in him, not in yourself or doctors or anybody else. To me, that's very important. To understand that he is in control of my life. And there's nothing that he will allow in my life unless he allows it, then he will bring peace to my life and he will be with me in the storm. That he will be with me in the storm. And then verse 40, the reproof here. Because the rebuke came in verse 39. And now verse 40, he says, but he said to them, so he gets up and says to them, question, why, he says, why are you so fearful? I mean, what's the matter with you? I told you guys to get in the boat. I told you we're going to the other side. I'm going to take a nap, and all of a sudden you're freaking out because there's a storm going on. And at the same time, you guys, don't you understand that as long as I'm on the boat, nothing will happen to you? But because of unbelief in my life, I'm going down, and fast. The reaction that is given to us, the reproof in verse 40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? And then again, second question, how is it that you have no faith? Underline that. Keep that in mind. Why is it that you do not trust me? What is it that's keeping you from trusting the Lord today? What is keeping you from trusting Jesus today? Is it something little or something big? You know, when you come to that place, in trusting him, your life will change. Your life will change. Your attitude will change. Our attitudes have to change if we're going to be people that have faith in God. Because when we get to that place where he says you're fearful and have no faith, you can see yourself going backwards instead of forwards. Because number one, I'm fearful when I should not be fearful. And number two, I have no faith in him, not on myself. Faith in him. He is the only one that can help me. He's the only one that could save me. He's the only one that can open the doors and shut the doors. He's the only one that can take my life. Because there's an appointed time for a man to live, and then the judgment comes. Every one of us has our date. We're going to die. And so here we have a great lesson for each one of us individually about the storms of our lives. Are those storms that we're going through, are they breaking us, or they're bringing us to a place where we start hating Jesus, disbelieving him? We're blaming all those things on him when he's allowing all these things in my life so that I can become a better servant for him? Or is Satan trying to get you away by not trusting in Jesus? You got to check it out. He's a liar. You don't want to mess with Satan. And that's why you got to get your eyes on Jesus. You got to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going through this thing in my life, this little storm. And if the storm gets bigger and bigger and bigger, Lord, I know that you'll carry me through the storm. And he was carrying him through the storm, but they became panicked. They panicked on the Lord. Where he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea came to calm. Then he says this. Notice the reaction, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. Notice fear exceedingly. And said to one another. Now they're talking to one another now. And check this out. Who can this be? Come on, you guys. Who can this be? You've been with him a long time and you say, who is he? Who is he? I mean, how many times we're like them? Well, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him, they should have said, wow, man, he is the Messiah. He is God. Because he's doing something supernatural that nobody has ever done. And that's why I know Jesus. All the things that he's done, all the things that he's doing in my life, that he is the one that takes me. And he leads me and he guides me and he heals me and he uses my life to bring glory and honor to his holy name. That's what's so awesome as we meet here on Sundays. If God is speaking to you this morning and God's going to use your life this morning, and then as you sit here this morning, don't just leave and turn on your phone or, you know, put on something else. Hey, meditate on what was said this morning here. Ask the Lord, Lord, why am I going through this thing? Or, Lord, how are you going to help me through this storm? Lord, how long shall I wait for the storm to pass? And he'll talk to you. He'll share with you that as long as he's in control, I don't care how long it is. For if God is for me, who can be against me? Nobody. That's why he's my Lord. He's my Savior. That's why I keep my eyes on him. And my heart belongs to him. And I said, Lord, behold, come quickly. Lord, take us home. For we know that one day, soon, the Lord will come. And when he comes, all of our storms will be done. No more storms. We shall be like him, and we are like him forever and ever. We're going to be in his presence worshiping, worshiping, worshiping. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty.